Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program. The past 2 weeks, the Acts Essentials series that I've been preaching on, dealing with the early church, the first century church from the book of Acts, we dealt with the acts of prayer and how that the prayer is the basis of any church's growth. If a church is not praying, then it's not growing. If a church is not praying, nobody gets saved, nobody gets healed, nobody gets delivered, because we wouldn't know without prayer whether or not the presence of the Lord was in the place. But prayer lays the foundation for everything inside of our life, not just in the church, but also inside of your life as well. Then last week we dealt with the acts of the Word of God. When prayer, the Word, and the Spirit are mixed together, you can expect there to be a change. Whenever the Spirit moved in the beginning, the following after that is the fact that God spoke. And today, whether or not there are clouds in the sky that you can't see the sun or the moon or the stars, it makes no difference, because I know they're still hanging there, because everything, according to Hebrews chapter 1, hangs on the Word of God. If God withdraws His Word from this universe, it would fall into chaos once again, as it did in the very beginning before the Word spoke and called it into order. That's the reason why the Word is so important. I cannot stress to you enough, do not allow your Bible to sit dormant from Sunday to Sunday or Wednesday to Sunday. Pick it up and read it and digest it on a daily basis. You will live and you can die by the ignorance of the Word or the knowledge of the Word. How important that it is that you read and digest. David said, it's so important that I will hide the Word of God in my heart that I might not sin against you. The Word of God is paramount, so much so, God said, I elevate my Word above my name. If I don't have God said, integrity in my Word, then my name will mean nothing. You can spout your name off to any location, but unless the integrity and your reputation precedes you, then your name will not be as good as it is written on paper. How important that it is that we get that in our mind. Today, I want to pick up part 3 of the Acts of the Assembly. Hear me carefully, because what you're about to hear is not something I read off of the internet yesterday. This is the word of the Lord from the first century church, though it will read like you've read the news just this morning. The early Acts church lived in a hostile culture. Every present threat and arrest, every day they were under a present threat of arrest, prosecution, and persecution that drove the early church to find creative ways in order to obey God's command and hold fast to their faith in the dangerous pagan culture that they were in. Once Christians came about into existence and the church was formed in the book of Acts, they were actually called Christians at Antioch, the Bible says, for the first time. Before that, they were called believers. That's what you are before you have a title of a Christian. You're a believer. You entered into the kingdom of God by believing. You trusted in God and in His Word. That's who they were. So in this environment, they looked at Christians and believers as being adverse in this hostile culture that they were living in. And they would communicate to one another. Watch this right here. They would communicate with each other using secret imagery and codes that pagans of that day would not understand. They would literally scratch into the marble pavements of public places. To the eyes of the Roman soldiers and the government officials, the drawings that these Christians made on the ground to be able to communicate one to another looked like some kind of child's game. But to believers, the symbol was actually a secret code using symbols of 5 Greek letters. What I'm about to show you is one of those symbols that they use. So on the screen, as they throw up there, what is called the ektos. The ektos is the Greek word for fish. If you will, please put it on the screen.
These are the five Greek letters that are found, and this is the etching that would take place on the ground to tell other believers that if it was etched out beside a house, an apartment, or whatever that it place was, that it was that they were gathering together, that would be a sign that that location would be a safe house, if you will, a place where Christians could gather or assemble together to worship the Lord. This is not just any kind of symbol. This is found an historical fact. Each one of these letters, put the next one up there for me, each one of these Greek letters were a symbol and a name, a sign, so that Christians knew what those Greek letters were about. The first Greek letter, in fact, I don't have time to go into the depth of this, but the first Greek letter was the name Jesus represented. And then Christ and Son was the third one. Of God, the fourth one. And Savior was the fifth one. Understand this, my friends. It was them looking at these symbols and secret codes to find a place that they could worship from week to week. In fact, day to day. The Bible says that the early church worshiped day after day from house to house, breaking bread and having fellowship together, and they encouraged one another to keep on serving. Why was that so important? Because when the Roman authorities began to pass laws restricting public and private gatherings of Christians, it was difficult for believers to find safe location. It became illegal for Christians to come together anywhere in the Roman Empire, including even in the privacy of their own home. I'm talking about historical fact. You can read it if you want to. Those caught would face such severe reprisals that it could be death for them. These restrictions put believers in a very difficult place. Let's see if this sounds familiar. The difficulty was that the scripture required believers to obey, honor, and pray for their authorities in the land, Romans 13. But the government, the leadership, were not permitting them to obey God's command. In fact, passing laws to keep them from doing it. They had to pray for their leaders, but keep on serving the Lord. And the new laws that began to take effect during the times of the Romans, Christians found themselves being forced to choose between obeying the laws of God and obeying and following the laws of man. And so it was that confrontation came in the book of Acts chapter 4 verse 19 when Peter and John were arrested for picking up a lame man at the Gate Beautiful and causing him to rise by the healing power of Jesus Christ and the authority of his name, and they arrested them and brought them in. As I told you a couple of weeks ago, the problem was the evidence was running around the room, and a man that was lame for all these years that nobody cared about, nobody came to just do anything. In fact, some wouldn't even drop a little coin in his bucket, and yet by the power of God, he's now up and running around the synagogue. Not making this up, you should read it. Running around the synagogue and seeing what's happening, those that were in spiritual leadership and government could not do anything about it except threaten Peter and John and tell them, you're not going to have church again, and whatever you do, don't speak the name of Jesus Christ anymore, because that causes an incitement and it is politically incorrect. I'll tell you what they call it today. Cancel culture. To cancel out the name of Jesus from football games, and now they're intruding into the church and into your house, listening on your phone. Hello, Alexa, Siri, whoever you are. How did they know I was worshiping God inside of my house? Because we've allowed the invasion and the loosing of our priorities and the privacy of our home. But I got news for you. Alexa better learn how to worship God with me in my house, because for me in my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and we welcome Alexa to come on in. I will not be canceled out as a Christian. I will stand. It is a mockery for us to say that we're not going to lift our hands and assemble together when our forefathers from the book of Acts gathered together under such hostility that they were sown asunder. They were run through with knives. They were cut into pieces and burned on the stake. The devil is a liar. You better get yourself your mask and your hangnail and get to the house of God. Now more than ever before, it's time for the church to assemble together. I feel like preaching this morning. When the Romans and local laws were in line with God's word, early Christians would diligently obey that word and the laws of the land that would not conflict with the principles clearly outlined in the Bible. But whenever it became a conflict for them to say that I choose life instead of taking life, that's when they stood with God's word irrevocably and undeniably. Most believers chose to obey God's word over the government mandates. I know you sound, Pastor, you sound like you're preaching out of the news from today. No, I'm preaching this from the book of Acts. This is what the Acts church was dealing with right here. Let me go a little deeper, because if you're uncomfortable now, you better tighten up right now, fixing to go somewhere. There are consequences for serving the Lord. We've had it so comfortable in the United States of America, we don't understand what our Chinese brothers and sisters, Russian and everywhere else around the globe, have been suffering for the cause of Christ. The article a few days ago said that there are hundreds of Christian pastors in China that are now going missing. I have no doubt that the government is putting them in some re-education camps, or maybe they're taking their lives. I don't know, but I can tell you not one of them is denying the gospel of Jesus Christ. For after what the Lord has done inside of your life, how can you deny that He is Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world? I want you to know my hope is not in government. My hope is in the Holy Ghost, and He's flowing through this room right now. I wish I had a few hundred folk in this room that said, you know what? As for me and my house, we're going to serve. There are consequences to serving. And if you think it's regulated to the book of Acts or some foreign country, I'm about to show you something. Because when it got so bad with the book of Acts church that the consequences came, they started accusing Christians of being insubordinate lawbreakers. And what took place? Well, the same thing that's happened this past week. We need, according to Katie Couric, to deprogram all these conservative, right-wing, fundamental, radical, conspiratorial theorists, church-going people. What about the congressman, Ms. Cortez, who said we need to have funding in order to deprogram people from their conservative thinking? I'm a conservative not because it's a political thing. I'm a conservative because the Bible tells me the guidelines, and I don't get outside of those guidelines. Come on, it's about to get tight in here, I can see. Let's go a little deeper where the Washington Post editor, one of the reporters said, it's time to deprogram these people. They're wanting to cancel out the mindset of anybody that is against what they're standing for. I want you to understand something. This is not us against them. This is a fight that's going on in the heavenlies that the book of Acts church was dealing with as well. And the last thing we need to do is disgrace our forefathers in the Christian faith by laying down and saying, well, we just go alone to get along. The devil is a liar. If you've been filled with this powerful, sweet Holy Ghost, then you got enough power to fort to be able to push back the gates of hell that shall not prevail against the church. If you're not ready for that, then you better run for your life, because there ain't no room for cowards in the service of the Lord. Preach, Pastor. And this fight will not be on the front lines with sticks, baseball bats, and guns. It will be fought on the knees of people that believe their God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. The big lie has been gatherings. We don't want you gathering. Well, that's the problem. The church fell into the gatherings. And now we're sipping more coffee than we are communion. We're doing everything but what the agenda of the first church calls us to do.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you and help you in your walk with the Lord. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org. Paceassembly.org, and we'll be glad to get you the information, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and we'll be glad to correspond with you. We want to thank you for joining us each day at this same time. And I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.